it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Bienvenido to the show. Welcome in to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. We won. Good things are happening. My name is Derek Monti, occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This man next to me is my vice mayor near Thunderstick, occasionally known as Jesse Friedman. The boys are over there watching a little Phoenix Rising soccer, and he booed me and cheered Jesse. That's pretty much how things go around here.
Yeah,
but
that sounds about right.
Diamondbacks win. Great win for them. Another one of those wins that we haven't seen much of from the Diamondbacks, one where they are able to secure a close victory, especially one late when things looked a little bleak. Diamondbacks win 4-3. They secure just their fourth series win of the year. I don't know how to really feel about that. I mean, the other two of those other ones were against the Rockies. One was against the Cardinals, and this one was against a struggling Reds team. But I will take it. The Diamondbacks at least are getting taking care of business against teams like the Reds that they should. We talked about this yesterday, but they are able to, again, win a close one against a team that is also having a hard time finding offense.
Yeah, this was a bit of an ugly win for the Diamondbacks, but that's not something they've had a lot of this year, right? They've had a whole lot of ugly losses. We've played that game a whole lot, but there's something to be said for winning in ugly fashion. When, you know, Jordan Montgomery, like, I don't think he really had his best stuff today. His command was pretty shaky. For him to get through seven innings of two run ball,
quality start,
was very impressive.
Absolutely.
Gino Suarez had a big day. Of course, the home run, the solo shot in the eighth inning that winds up being the difference in this game. Diamondbacks, of course, just win this by a single run. And then Joe Mantiply coming in into a pretty precarious spot in the ninth inning. Kevin Ginkle just struggled. First and third, one out, a run already in, the tying run 90 feet away. And Mantiply gets a big strikeout and then a fly out to end this one. So, yeah, you know, a good team win for the Diamondbacks, something that they have not been able to do all that much this year. And it gets them to within three games of 500.
Piece of Yoshi says fluke ass win in regards to this win. I disagree with that. I would say that this is just a win. And that's how baseball goes sometimes. We're going to look at the numbers. We're going to look at the count for sure. But you got to just be satisfied sometimes when the Diamondbacks are able to secure a close victory like this and do it when things really aren't going their way. It's kind of an example of what, you know, like example of that is what Jordan Montgomery did today. Like you said, he wasn't striking many people out. His line ends up being he gives up seven hits in seven innings. He allowed two earned runs. He walked two, struck out two, threw 95 pitches. He was very economical. He was able to last much longer than it looked like he was going to last at times in this game, especially after a very quick first inning. He really struggled to get through the second inning. That's when the Reds achieved their first lead in 42 innings, I believe they said on the broadcast.
It was their first
lead in a week in a baseball game. So that, again, can give you an idea of how much the Cincinnati ball club there was struggling. But, you know, the Diamondbacks were able to answer right back on a Pavin Smith RBI double that scored Gabby. And, you know, this team kind of just chipped away. They had, production kind of from all over the place. But, you know, Gino definitely had a big game back at Great American Ballpark. He hit his 99th home run in that ballpark in this game, and that home run was very, very important for this team in regards to taking the lead and holding on to it.
The Diamondbacks have now won four consecutive one-run games, which is interesting to me. They are up to 5-4 this season in one-run games, which still doesn't feel right. It still feels like they've been pretty poor in some of these kind of 50-50 baseball games, but they've apparently really turned a corner in that regard, having won four consecutive there. And they have a three-game win streak right now, Derek, and that is the first time this season that the Arizona Diamondbacks have won three consecutive games, which is pretty wild to think about.
That is wild to think about. But when you go back to the fact that this is the first time that they have won a game one in a series since opening day, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't win three in a row if you keep
losing the first game of every series
right?
That's a great point.
But, of course, they did get some offense from guys that are struggling tonight. I mean, it's not – it's not a huge night, but it is a step in the right direction. Right when we were doubting them, Lourdes, Suarez, and Gabby all hit back-to-back singles to put the Diamondbacks up 3-2. And then Gino hit that solo home run late to make it 4-2 and kind of secure that much-needed extra run, because the bullpen almost blew Jordan Montgomery's quality start. He did retire 9 of his last 10. And held the Reds to just a .336 expected batting average, which...
Well, I don't know if I would use the word just in front of that. .336 is pretty dang high.
Well, I mean, yeah, he was not... He wasn't fooling anybody. He was not getting a lot of swings and misses.
Yeah, not,
just
not
the
so
two
much.
Strikeouts. I am a little surprised that he was able to, you know, I guess, maintain out there to limit the damage at times despite giving up the 7 hits. And honestly, I mean, it's what the Diamondbacks need out of a starting pitcher. Take his last outing against the Dodgers out of the equation, but Montgomery has been able to give them, you know, a much needed innings that some of their starting pitchers have not been able to give them this season, even when they have a good outing.
Yeah, I mean, Montgomery's numbers for the season, I mean, he has a 4.70 ERA after this game, but at the same time, 3 of his 4 starts have been pretty darn good, right? It's just the one start against the Dodgers where he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. It's really kind of skewing his stat line right now, but he is very much given the Diamondbacks a chance to win in 3 of his 4 starts up to this point. And there was also some pretty good Diamondbacks defense behind him. I know Gurriel made an error early in this game, allowing Tyler Stevenson to get to third base on a double. Yep. But Gurriel made a nice sliding grab later in the game. He gunned down a guy at second base. I believe it was Stuart Fairchild.
Inning, he made up for it right in the same inning. We got this note from our buddy Shane over at the D-backs that Lourdes became the 10th outfielder in franchise history to record both an error and an assist in the same inning. So yes, even though he did have a bit of a misplayed ball there, I think that did lead to a run scoring. He was able to make up for it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you play out that inning without the error, that run still scores. I mean, there were 3 singles after that, so that run was going to score anyway.
Right.
But yeah, if Gurriel doesn't gun down Fairchild at second base, then that would actually have scored another run in that inning. So that was actually a really big play. We also saw Pavin Smith gun down a guy at second base on a line drive force out.
That was nice.
Which isn't something you see every day. So there were some good moments for this defense behind Montgomery, which was big in his outing. But this is what you pay Jordan Montgomery to come in and do, right? Especially at a time where Merrill Kelly is not here, where Eduardo Rodriguez has yet to throw a pitch with the Diamondbacks. Jordan Montgomery has come in and in 3 of his 4 outings has been outstanding, really, for the Diamondbacks. Even in a game like today where it didn't look pretty, I mean, he'd given up 7 hits in 4 innings of work. He wound up getting through 7 innings with just those 7 hits allowed. As you said earlier, retired 9 of his last 10. Just seemed to get better and more comfortable as the game went on.
Which is the opposite of the Diamondbacks' young pitchers, which is the problem there with them eating innings, right? Typically, when they start getting to the third time through the rotation, the opposing offense typically has them figured out. Tonight, Montgomery just did a great job of extending on a night where it didn't really seem like he had his best stuff. He is not necessarily just like a contact pitcher like this. He's not a guy that goes out there and just kind of gets quiet outs. He does get more strikeouts than this, and I'm sure it's still about him settling in. This has been a weird year for him.
Especially
the last start was a very weird start, the way that, you know, the stop and go went for him. But I think that when we see, you know, the season progress and him get more comfortable, I think we're going to see more outings like this with probably some more strikeouts and a little less contact than we saw tonight. However, just much needed starting performance. Offensively, the Diamondbacks still didn't get a whole lot from this team. They did get a couple of, you know, hits from unexpected sources that led to some runs tonight. Of course, Cattell continues to be Cattell. He has now hit safely in 9 straight games, and his defense was also outstanding out there today too.
Yeah, he made a really, really nice play on, I think it was a TJ Friedl bunt late in this game. Not an easy play by any means, having to charge in and do the glove flip, which we've seen Cattell really kind of master at this point. I mean, that's one play that Cattell is really figured out at this point. That was big. Someone in the chat also mentioned Kevin Newman and him just being pretty darn good at shortstop defensively. And we saw that in this game as well. He made a nice play going to his right, getting a force out at second base in a key spot. So yeah, defense is a really important thing and has been a fixture of this Diamondbacks team for the last several years.
Correct.
And it really hasn't been a fixture of the 2024 Diamondbacks all that much.
No.
I guess we did talk about the numbers the other day. Like, they actually do have some pretty good defensive metrics. If you look at defensive run save, if you look at OAA, but they've made so many mistakes in key moments that it's kind of put a damper on their defensive impact. But today, all the way around, it was a pretty well-played game on that side for the Diamondbacks.
Piece of Yoshi says that's fourth among all shortstops in OAA. Kevin Newman to you?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, Kevin Newman came into this season being like a serviceable shortstop, but Kevin Newman, his defensive metrics at short were not particularly good coming into this season. It seemed like, you know, you could get away with him at second base. Like, he could be a decent second baseman, but if you're putting him at short, it'd be a little bit more of a stretch. That's not what we've seen so far. I mean, the difference defensively between Kevin Newman and Blaze Alexander has been really, really big, frankly. And you can kind of understand why Torey Lovello has sort of just stuck with Newman in there at shortstop more often than not.
The relay there by Lourdes to Kevin Newman that unsuccessfully attempted to get, I think it was maybe Tyler Stevenson at home scoring.
I think it was Santiago Espinal.
It was Espinal. Yeah. It was the second run that they scored.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it was unsuccessful, I was saying this during the game, it was one of the best defensive plays I've seen them turn from the outfield all season long, just in regards to Lourdes playing the ball well off the wall, bringing it into the cutoff man. Kevin Newman didn't make the best throw, but he still made a really solid attempt with a very quick turn to try to get the Reds runner at home. And it was honestly, like, again, it's one of those times where that was much more encouraging than what we've seen out of them defensively from the outfield coming home all season long. So, I mean, maybe they are making steps in that direction of becoming a bit more solid. Lourdes showed us in a single inning how he can both make a lot of mistakes in one play and then make up with it with two fairly solid defensive plays, I think, after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the Diamondbacks are it seems like the mistakes aren't happening as often, and that is yielding their ability to win these close games, right? You gotta win the margins, and you gotta make sure that in a close game like this, especially where it ends up being 4-3, you gotta value every run. You gotta try to do everything you can to score and to limit mistakes, and they did that today. However, yeah, the bullpen really tried to give it away after Jordan Montgomery had himself a great quality start. When I say the bullpen, I really mean Kevin Ginkle, because Ryan Thompson and Joe Mantiply were wonderful for this team. It felt like Torey wasn't ready to go to Paul Sewald yet in back-to-back nights,
right,
especially
right.
In a high-leverage situation like this with Sewald out there. So instead, after Ryan Thompson comes out for one inning, throws no hits, no runs, gives up one or strikes out one, Kevin Ginkle comes out, gets an out, and then gets himself into trouble immediately.
Yeah. Ginkle faced four batters and three of them reached, and the Reds scored one run and had the tying run at third base, the go-ahead run at first base, and Joe Mantiply comes in. The Reds had gone to Will Benson off the bench, so it was a good left-on-left matchup. Benson was really good for the Reds last year, but has struggled quite a bit, especially over the last few weeks. And Mantiply,
very aggressive lately, and the Mantiply definitely used that against him.
Yeah, he did. Was able to get it was a check swing. It was a close call, but they ultimately decided that Benson did go, and that was an enormous strikeout for Joe Mantiply. I mean, Mantiply is not necessarily the biggest strikeout guy out there, so for him to come in first and third, one out, and get a strikeout. And then, it was a bit of a long battle there with the final hitter of the game, but a flyout ultimately ended this one and put this in the win column for the Diamondbacks. It was a really impressive game for Joe Mantiply. I mean, he's been on the other side of some of these situations quite a bit, frankly, but this was a really big game where he picked up Kevin Ginkle, who just did not really have it today.
Everything was kind of pointing to this being a disastrous situation there once Kevin Ginkle, really didn't have it. It pointed to a disastrous situation. Chat, I know many of you probably were very nervous once Joe Mantiply came out, but he did an excellent job. And honestly, he got the Reds' hottest hitter right now in Jonathan India to fly out, because he's been really good lately, despite the rest of the team being fairly bad. But that was just a huge situation. We had a little hard time here debating and deciding who really deserves King Snake.
Yeah.
And then I just overruled everybody and I gave it to Gino, Eugenio Suarez, 2-for-3 tonight with that crucial solo home run that ends up giving the Diamondbacks that 4-3 victory. Of course, this could have been Joe Mantiply's as well, because the Diamondbacks got a very unlikely source out of the bullpen to come in and close the door on a game that was, I mean, honestly, it was heading in the direction of a lot of the Diamondbacks' losses this year.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a case for Mantiply. You could make a case for Montgomery for kind of gutting out a really impressive outing. 7 innings, 2 runs. It's, if he's not able to do that, then that in itself might take the Diamondbacks out of this game a little bit earlier. So yeah, you could go a few different directions here, but I think Gino's a pretty fair choice. I mean, the guy was 2-for-3 in this game. He also was hit by a pitch. He also stole a base, which isn't something we see.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't Gino get the stolen do too base often. He was stranded there. He was at second with nobody out. The Diamondbacks weren't able to score him. Corbin Carroll was also at second with nobody out at one point in this game, and he also did not score. So hitting with runners in scoring position wasn't necessarily a huge success for the Diamondbacks today, but a big game for Gino. And as we've discussed over the last few days, the D-backs really need him to get going. I mean, he is a big part of this offense. He's in the 5-hole or the 6-hole, pretty much every single day, has been throughout the season. Diamondbacks really need him to turn things around offensively, and maybe this is the beginning of that.
Well, and I think winning close games like this, winning ugly games like this, it's a reminder to this team that things don't have to go perfect for you out there. You know, you can go
Which
out
there. It
felt
like it did for a while.
Right.
It was like either you're winning 14-1 or you're just not going to win.
Right. It reminds me of like when you get used to beating up on the computer in MLB The Show, and then you can't stand having a loss or a realistic game where the opponent's tough, right?
Like, it sounds personal.
It is a little personal. I mean, it's when you play
story on, of Derek's life.
When you play on easy or whatever, you expect to win every game, but sometimes you got to level up. I will say though that, of course, that's one thing that does, just remind this team, maybe it takes a little bit of the pressure off. Again, you might go out there and go 0-for-4 on a night, but you played some great defense, and that defense helped secure a close victory that still you can feel good about and still feel like you contributed to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jock Peterson is a guy that continues to be good for this team, but tonight Jock Peterson was 0-for-3. He had a walk, but he still took some very good at-bats tonight. And there's things like that that the rest of the team, it feels like the patience is starting to carry over, and we're seeing some better at-bats from guys, even the guys that are struggling. Taking those better at-bats is going to yield to more successful results, period.
Yeah.
Lourdes, the amount of times that we've seen Lourdes, hit the first pitch up for a for a pop out or roll into a double play.
Yeah, there's another double play today.
Yeah, it's nauseating, right? But it does feel like we're seeing him at times take better at bats today. You know, Lourdes, again, he was 1-for-4, but he scored a run and he was a part of the offense and a part of this win today. So hopefully those guys can get going based on, you know, maybe taking some of that pressure off of themselves. The Diamondbacks needed to win games. They need to win games like this. They can't just win games when they're leading by 20 runs, right? And they also need to win games that they have no business winning. In cases they've lost games they had no business losing. So, I mean,
they've lost quite a few games.
It's okay for this to go back, you know, go their way a little bit here on a night where maybe looking at the numbers, they don't deserve it nearly as much. But again, Jordan Montgomery found a way to win, and he found a way to go out there and give this team length, and that's exactly what they needed. So hopefully this can carry over and they can go for the sweep tomorrow in game three.
Yeah. Is Corbin Carroll, is he no longer fixed?
No, he's
going over four.
It's Jover.
Where are we
it's Jover for him. Okay, he did walk. So that's
all
right.
Walk. Yeah, he did still. He did still get on.
But no, it might be over for Corbin Carroll. I don't know. I mean,
again, 1-2-for-5. He's back, and he sees the Corbin Carroll of old. And then he goes 0-for-4 the next day, and all of the belief is instantly gone.
Well, again, it's like I'm not ready to do that yet, but I was also not ready last night to be super excited about a 2-for-5 night.
You were more measured last night than I expected you to be.
I want to scream about it. Look, I mean, again, Corbin Carroll is so incredibly important to this team that it's like I want to will him to get going. I want Corbin Carroll to get going so much that I'm behind that dumbass idea of getting up and giving him a standing ovation. And you know how much I hate that shit. But I would do it for Corbin Carroll at this point. I just think Corbin Carroll is too cerebral for that. I think he would find it condescending in the same way that I do, and he wouldn't like it. However, I don't know. Let's do it. Whatever works, works. I want to do something to get him going because, again, I feel like it's not a matter of – you know, again, it's not a matter of skill. It's just a matter of things, you know, again, a little bit of struggle, a little bit, you know, mental. I mean, obviously he brought up the fact that there is a mechanical mistake right now with him with his swing being too flat. And Jesse explained yesterday why that's a problem. And if you miss that, I don't know what to tell you. You probably should show up for every episode so you don't miss crucial information like that. We're not going to go back over it ever again. You have to go back and watch the episode. But of course, you know, again, this is a team that doesn't need Corbin Carroll to be right all the time. They just need Corbin Carroll to be productive and be a part of the offense. Give me a week and let's see how he does over the next week after going 2-for-5. Let's see if he really did break out of his slump a bit more, or if it was just a temporary kind of, you know, bump one night. I remain cautiously optimistic that Corbin Carroll is going to get straight. I just think that, you know, again, it's a matter of the expectations, and you can disguise them as a different word all you want. But even after he had a good game, the post game show, they were talking to him about the standard once again, right? And it's like,
you're not really, you don't seem very on board with the distinction that was made between expectations and the standard entering the season.
You can call JJ anything you want. He's still JJ, right? Like at the end of the day, we know who he is, right? And expectations are there whether you want to believe they are there or not, whether you want to try to take them and shape them into something new and have them be something different, it's still fucking expectations. And the expectations are that a young team that made it to the World Series is going to be back this year. They're going to be more successful than they were last year because Ken Kendrick and this front office spent a bunch of money and they added to it, and everything should be better. And since it's not, this is a failure and this team isn't going to make it to the playoffs and shut the whole thing down, right? Like, that's what it feels like. And again, the expectations do make this all kind of out of whack because they made it so far last year. They had no business making it that far at this point in this team's development, but they did. And it still doesn't mean they can't do something magical again this year. It's just a matter of, I think, really trying to find a way to get rid of those expectations, holding the players down and having them, you know, just be impacted too much mentally by the fact that this team right now isn't finding that level of success that they should be.
Yeah, I mean, from what Corbin described, it sounds like this is something that he's been working through for a while and that he was kind of made a conscious decision to stick with it, some of the adjustments that he'd made over the offseason to try to fight his way out of this early season slump rather than just kind of abandon the changes he'd made and go back to the way things were before. And I think making that decision, there was always going to be risks that he would struggle quite a bit out of the gate. And of course, that is sort of what has happened. But yeah, you know, 1-0-for-4 day, I don't think this means that Corbin is back to struggling as much as he was a week ago. It still seems like things are trending in a positive direction there. On paper, the Diamondbacks have the kind of offense that has enough depth that we believe, that we thought, at least coming into the season, had enough depth that if a player struggles for a while, you still could be okay with that, right?
This team is not built on one particular offensive player.
It is not. No, and it
stretches the imagination.
It never really has been, right? Like last year, I don't think that team, for as good as Corbin was, that team wasn't built just off of him being, an unreal player, even though he very much was that. So that's why you need Gurriel to get going. You need Suarez to get going, because it allows guys to kind of go through those inevitable stretches where they're not so great and still be able to score runs on a consistent basis. That's just not what we've seen here over the last couple of weeks.
And I think all of these guys have different expectations that might be impacting them, weighing them down, just being something that's there, right? Because, you got Gino coming to a new team. You got Lourdes, re-signing here and wanting to run it back. You got Corbin coming off of his rookie, of the year season and trying to not let the sophomore slump happen and emulate what he did last year. There's just a lot of things here that besides just the success of the team and the winning or the lack of wins at times that might be putting pressure on them. It might be just their individual situations. At the end of the day, everybody wants to do a good job. We all want to do a good job. And in the case of a sports team, the fans, you're all kind of like bosses in a way. Like, it's not even like you're customers. You're like bosses that are all kind of, somebody that all of these players want to, at the end of the day, make happy and please and make you guys all feel great about their contributions to this team. But baseball is a fickle sport. And I think right now it's, nights like tonight where Gino kind of figures it out, has a good night. This is what it's about. You're going to get contributions. You're going to have different guys being King Snake all the time. And that's the DNA of this team, really, is that they're going to win a lot of games, hopefully, this season, like this, where, somebody steps up and is the hero of the night, but you're not necessarily getting those 20-1 victories that we saw earlier in the season. Of course, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel right now. Elise is a known baseball GM, so she's literally our boss. Do we want to talk about the fact that Elise is married to a person named Mike, or does that not factor in here? I mean, just allegedly, we've said it's Mike Hayes. I mean, we did meet her, so I guess I probably shouldn't be.
Why is it significant that she's, that doesn't, I don't understand what point you're making.
It's just the connection to us suggesting she's actually Mike Hazen. That's all.
Sure.
But you ruined the joke. Thank you anyway for being here. Hopefully you guys like my jokes more than Jesse does. We know he's not a fan. Yeah. Of course.
I thought she was Alex Anthopoulos. Wasn't that the joke?
I mean, you have your own jokes. We've just had a lot of suspicions about her. Though, unfortunately, those were all resolved by meeting her in person, but I still like to pretend like she's a baseball GM. Anyway, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Make sure to drop a like, subscribe to the channel, sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever our shows go live. If you're listening on the audio podcasting side, make sure you subscribe on your favorite audio podcasting app over there as well. Leave us a review. We always appreciate that. Of course, you live here in Arizona. If you're here at any time of the year watching a baseball game, make sure you have yourself a solid pair of sunglasses. And we suggest checking out Shady Rays. You can get ready for baseball season, of course, with quality shades that are built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. And they also have, as we've talked about many times, the craziest, most insane, lost and broken replacement plan in all of eyewear. If your shades go missing or take an unexpected hit, don't sweat it. They have the most craziest thing ever where they'll just replace it for you, even on day one if you lose them. If you also don't love your shades, you can return them, exchange them for a new pair, or return them worry-free within 30 days. No risk at all when you shop, especially online. You know how hard it is sometimes to find something that fits you perfectly. So again, they have that for you as well. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code PHNX for 35% off polarized shades. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Damon, what's on tap at Illegal Pete's this week? What do you got going on over there? Because I know that's where these people can find you.
I was actually at Illegal Pete's on Sunday.
Ah, yeah.
It was good stuff. I think that was Cinco de Mayo.
Mm.
Oh, there
just
you
just happened
go.
To be
what an excellent day to spend there.
But yeah, I went there during happy hour.
Did you even know it was Cinco de Mayo, or did you just show up?
I didn't until I got there. It was I got a double prickly pear margarita for $7. How about that, Derek? Mm. You can't beat that price.
No, you absolutely can't. You can't. I don't even know if I can get a soda most places.
Munching on a burrito. Oh, my God.
And those reverse nachos?
Just the best. The absolute best.
They have the full menu. They have the full bar. They have everything you need. So make sure to check them out. Legal Pete's Margaritas is the strongest in Arizona. And their patio, of course, is an incredible place to watch a game or spend some time with your friends. Legal Pete's is also here to bring you a win with their legendary soundcheck deal. Bring in your ticket stub from any ticket event and get a draft beer or house margarita for one penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's a pregame or postgame party. They got you covered on all your game day needs. Must purchase an adult entree to redeem Illegal Pete's soundcheck deal. Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. All right, well, it's time to work the count presented by Desert Financial Credit Union. Let's take a look at the numbers from today's win because, again, these kind of explain a little bit more why we're saying this is one maybe the Diamondbacks snuck away with.
Yeah. I mean, Diamondbacks got out hit 9-8. As we said earlier, they had some opportunities with runners in scoring position that they didn't really take advantage of. They were just 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position in this game compared to 2-for-8 for the Cincinnati Reds. Both teams had 3 walks. Diamondbacks' hard hit rate was a little higher in this game at 37.9% compared to 29% for the Reds. This wasn't real pretty, Derek. Really wasn't much about this game that was pretty. If we look at the expected batting average for each team for the entire game, the Reds were at 324 compared to 254 for the Diamondbacks. So I think that was a lot of that was Jordan Montgomery when he was pitching. There wasn't necessarily a ton of hard contact, but there were a lot of kind of soft line drives that found holes in the outfield that were honestly just really good pieces of hitting by Reds hitters. So again, credit Montgomery for being able to work around that and find a way to really shut things down toward the end of his outing.
I don't care if it's ugly win. I'll take it. I'll take ugly wins. I'll take pretty wins. I'll take anything right now with the direction this team currently was on. They needed something, especially after, you know, the way this series with the Padres went. The Diamondbacks, once again, have not lost a game since we as a group got together and went to go visit them and talk this out and try to encourage them and get their shit together. They did lose that game on Saturday, which was Gabby Moreno bobblehead night and was possibly the lowest point so far in the season. It really did feel like the Diamondbacks were on the verge of getting swept, and who knows what was going to happen after that. I mean, luckily they do run into a Reds team that is really struggling, and that's going to help get things back on track. But they do also have a very, very difficult, very young, very hungry Baltimore Orioles team on the horizon that they have to play. And then they get this Reds team again. So really, like I said yesterday, this is a chance for them to feast on a team that might not be this bad all season long, right? This Reds team, luckily the Diamondbacks are catching them when they're catching them while they're struggling.
That's true.
They might be able to put it together and be a completely different team later on this season, just like the Diamondbacks could be. But if there's ever a good time to run into the Reds, it's when they've lost now 7 in a row, thanks to the Diamondbacks getting in on it.
Nicholas in the chat said, Jesse, what is a good normal average hard hit rate? So glad you asked, Nicholas. Fantastic question.
The floor is yours.
The MLB average is 36.3%. So the D-backs were just over that today at 37.9%. Reds well below that at 29%. So yeah, it is good to like have a reference point for these things, because sometimes we talk about these fancy numbers and nobody has any idea like what's good and what's bad and what's normal. So.
I think that's why things like ERA and batting average have stood the test of time.
Because everyone understands that.
Correct. Yeah. For the most part, right? If you are familiar with baseball, that's usually the first like metric, the first stat that starts allowing you to understand based on hearing it how good a person is doing in comparison to other pitchers and other hitters in the league. However, as we've talked about, especially ERA isn't really a great indicator of how things are going for a player because there's a lot of other information that really tells you better. But of course, it comes down to the results, right? And that's what the batting average is about, is the results. You can talk about expected batting average. You can talk about hard hit percentage, all that stuff. It all can
The actual results do matter just a little bit.
I'll
acknowledge
just
that.
A little bit, right? But what all of that other stuff tells you is actually, you know, what's going on with the guy, especially when like Jordan Montgomery's night tonight is a perfect example of that, right? Like, what was he doing well that allowed him to get outs? Like, we know he wasn't striking guys out. We know he wasn't getting swing and miss. We know he wasn't really overpowering guys, but he was throwing his fastball, which he hasn't really thrown much this season, and he kind of abandoned his sinker, which he has been throwing more this season.
Yeah, his sinker kind of got hit a little bit today, and it seemed like around the middle of his outing, he kind of shifted to the four-seamer and started using that more, which isn't a pitch that we see Jordan Montgomery throw a whole lot. Usually it's just like a handful every game to change the eye level of the hitter and try to get a swing and miss up in the zone or something like that. But he started throwing that four-seamer more regularly around the midway point of this outing. I think a lot of the damage that was done against him, a lot of those base hits were just a matter of location mistakes. I mean, we've said it from the moment the Diamondbacks acquired him, Montgomery is not an overpowering kind of a starter. He's someone who needs to live on the edges in much the same way that Merrill Kelly does. Like, if Merrill Kelly throws his four seam fastball right down the middle or his slider or whatever, like, it's not going to go well for him, right? It's the same with a lot of starting pitchers in the league. And Montgomery, not only today, but also, of course, in his last start against the Dodgers, the command just wasn't all that sharp. There were a lot more pitches in the middle of the zone in particular than you would like to see. But yeah, he really locked things in toward the end of the outing. He was able to get some pitches out of the zone that were hit for lazy pop-ups. I think he had a 5-pitch sixth inning, if I'm not mistaken, which was a really big step in being able to get through 7 innings in this game.
Yeah. He had a couple of really short innings that really helped extend his outing. Yeah. He also would have had way more strikeouts if he had home plate umpire Vic Carpazza from last night instead of our man Adam Amari today. But
you can't slander tonight's home plate umpire, Derek.
I mean, he was calling a tight strike zone, and then life found a way to fit a ball into a tight strike zone. We hope he's feeling better, because that looked about as unpleasant as one could imagine that looks.
You can't, and I feel like in that situation, it, like, being removed from the game is almost not on the table. That's just not really something we ever see.
I wanted to see him stretchered out. I wanted to see medics come and take care of that man.
That's just not very nice, Derek.
I don't mean that. I mean that man went through hell and he had to just walk it off and go out there and call a game. Yeah. No, he deserved an ice pack, and he deserved maybe a popsicle, and he deserved a break. He deserved a timeout and some time to himself, because
is fair. In baseball, like, when those kind of things happen, it very much is just like, yeah, we'll give you a few minutes,
shake it off,
walk it off, and, you know, you do your thing,
especially when you're a batter going again. You're a batter, like, man, I was on the 15-day IL for bumping my elbow on the desk in there. Like, sometimes stuff just hits you in the right way. You didn't break anything, and you're not, like, injured enough to be pulled out of a game, especially a sport where you can't be put back in the game once you're pulled out of it, right? But, man, sometimes when those batters take, you know, those balls off the shin, off the top of their foot, things like that, like, they have to stand back in there and now still try to hit a baseball. And
we much flinch. Underestimate the pain that that people endure in those moments.
Oh, absolutely. Man, respect.
Respect for sure.
Adam Amari, You get the performance to forget for sure, and not because of your discipline calls behind the plate. Although he was, he Jordan Montgomery had a couple of calls that were tight that he didn't get, but his strike zone tonight was far less erratic than last night, and it was definitely conservative as far as being a little bit tighter. Whereas last night's strike zone, it felt like at times anything could be a strike, and I didn't see the umpire scorecard on that, but I'd still bet dollars to donuts that things went to Diamondback's way for Zach, especially for Zach Gallen with last night's home plate umpire. But anyway, again, ugly win. I don't care. We'll take it at this point. We'll take wins in any fashion. Of course, you can win, by the way, by stopping by Circle K. And when I say you can win, I mean you can save on gas. Right now, of course, if you are not already part of the Inner Circle, you can join the Inner Circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today, and you will save 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups. Very valuable right now with how expensive gas is. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details, but you'll also save more in the future. You'll save 3 cents per gallon every day after that. It does also stack with their easy pay options, so you can save yourself some money at Circle K. You can also save yourself some money on their snacks, which do not sleep on the Circle K branded snacks. They are incredible. They gave us like full-size, family-size, like, chip bags now.
Yeah, which, you interrupted the Cardinals show today to go get yourself a bag of chips.
Look, I'm just saying, don't
like, wow,
don't put the snacks in Studio B.
That's fair.
And then have shows going on when I need snacks. It's like, I was polite. I waited. I was egged on.
Derek's addicted to the camera. Jesse.
I can't.
He's just a magnet for it. He sees one on and he has to get his face on it.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
He even walked away and came back into the shot.
Damon's still not over me rejecting his invitation to Sedona, obviously, but
you
I do know.
And you we, can know say that you're, we know that you're just a little bitter about
I have
that,
text so. Messages that prove otherwise, but
first off, Derek,
I
you
do know
invited.
They stopped at Circle K, by
we
the way.
We absolutely stopped at Circle K, the greatest gas station in all the land.
It's where you start every road trip.
For sure.
It's where you start every road trip.
The official stop of road trips.
What is your go-to road trip snack, Damon?
Wow. There's so many great snacks to choose from. One of my favorites has become the chocolate-covered almonds that Circle K offers.
Wow.
Great. Just phenomenal.
Chocolate-covered almonds. I don't think I've had those from Circle K.
Pretty good, man.
I feel like that's a little bit of a rookie move, though, when traveling in the Arizona desert in a car.
How hot do you keep your car?
On your, I don't know. You're right.
Mine's pretty cool.
I mean, my AC doesn't work great right now.
That's very true, though. Like, in Arizona, keeping any chocolate, anything in your car...
He's a madman.
It's going to backfire eventually. Like, it might sound great in the moment. You might enjoy it for a while. Mm-hmm. But eventually, that bag is going to be, like, sticking correct. To the seats of your car because of the... Yeah, it's
well, good not, thing it's I eat great. Mine fast.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess that's the work.
I get sour Skittles, and I also eat them very fast, and I get, like, the rough tongue from eating them too fast. But no regrets. I need all of that sugar. You got a go-to snack on your road trips? You're usually driving.
Yeah, I'm usually driving. I'm at, you know... Chips guy.
Open bag of chips on the lap.
All of the
That's a good.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
a, good
a fairly manageable thing to eat.
Kettle
while
cooked.
You're eating
kettle cooked. Yeah, kettle cooked.
Oh, kettle cooked for sure.
For sure.
It's gotta be.
Another speaking. I'm getting hungry just talking about this, but since we're talking about being hungry and stuff, also make sure to get yourself some chicken tendies from Four Peaks. And also, they're a wonderful beer. You can get their beer at Circle K. You can also check out their beer lots of places, including Arizona Diamondbacks games out at Chase Field. They have the Bad Birdie, the Juicy Golden Ale out at their Four Peaks stand out there. Delicious, incredible, refreshing, almost possibly, quite possibly, a new perfect beer. Sorry, Golden Lager, for a baseball game. Sorry, I'm just saying. Might be.
It is that good.
It is.
I would consider that slanderous, but like if you've ever had the Bad Birdie, what is it? The Juicy Golden Lager? Is that technically the terminology there?
Yes, it is the Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale is what
Golden
it is.
Ale. Golden Ale. Yeah, big difference.
Yeah.
So good.
Fantastic.
So good.
Fantastic. And of course, you can visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all of your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brewer at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, and please drink responsibly. And don't sleep on the tendies. All right. Well, of course, we know Elise lied about being a baseball GM. We know Damon lies all the time.
I don't think Elise ever lied about that.
No?
I think you... thought that about her and learned that you were wrong. And now you're claiming
that she's
lying.
I'm fairly certain she told us that she was a baseball GM.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You lied about not inviting me to Sedona.
You don't deserve this kind of treatment.
You're a liar. He's a liar. Elise is a liar. You're all liars. But you know who doesn't lie? Me. And also the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
What do you got for?
I almost refuse to put up this graphic right now, Jesse. The slander that's coming on.
We got a lot of things to work out. We need a mediator on this show. But yeah, Jesse, what's your number for tonight?
Yeah, today's number is 10.5, which is a percentage, 10.5%. This represents Jordan Montgomery's strikeout rate so far as a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this is not very high. The league average strikeout rate is generally about 22%.
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery came in with, I think, an 11.9% strikeout rate, and then he's had just 2 strikeouts today out of 28 hitters. So yeah, Montgomery has sort of found ways to be successful with the Diamondbacks so far without really much of any swing and miss. And, you know, on one hand, you would like to see the strikeouts tick up at some point. There's not really such a thing as a major league pitcher who is like very, very good, who has a strikeout rate quite this low. There is a range there for sure, but 10.5% is very, very, very low. But on the other hand, it's, you know, it's such a small sample. And I think it is also a credit to Montgomery and his ability to work around the edges. And he's very much a pitcher, right? Not just a thrower out there. And he manages to get soft contact. He did a fair amount of that in this game, even though, as we said earlier, a lot of those flares did find some outfield ground. But it is very much a testament to Montgomery and his ability to not necessarily rely much on swing and miss to have a game like he did today, where he still went 7 innings and gave up just 2 runs with only 2 strikeouts in this one.
His career strikeout percentage is 22.2%.
Yeah.
Last year, he had a 21.6%. The last 3 seasons, in fact, he's had 21.4%. No, I'm sorry. That was actually, no, I apologize. That's actually just 2023. 21.4% total last year, 23.9% in 2022.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What do you think? Do you think this is, I mean, obviously this is one of those stats that's probably going to even out as the season goes on. Do you have concerns with that? I mean, is that something that tells the tale of him having a struggling season, or is that just right now a slow start?
Yeah, it's too early to really have much of any takeaways from that, I think. It's just 4 starts, so you know, if his strikeout rate was 35% or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have 300 strikeouts this season or anything.
Right.
It's only a few games. But one thing I will say with Montgomery, for as well as he pitched today and as good as he's looked, and again, 3 of the 4 outings he's had with the Diamondbacks, is the velocity still has not ticked up. We noticed that when he was pitching in Reno after signing with the Diamondbacks, and it's continued in these 4 starts that he's made now with the Major League team. Montgomery today, if I could find it here real quick, averaged 91.8 miles an hour on his sinker. It's a little bit higher than he had averaged. He came in 91.5 with his sinker for the season, but that's still quite a bit lower than where it was last year. Montgomery, I believe it was 93.3 miles an hour on his sinker a year ago, which was actually a career high. One of the things that we really liked about Montgomery when the D-backs signed him was that his stuff seemed to be getting better, not regressing. His velocity actually was as high as it had ever been last season, but that is not what we've seen so far. It has taken a couple mile per hour tick down, and up to this point, it's maybe gotten up just a little bit, but we have not seen the velocity return from last year. And I don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean that Montgomery can't be as effective? Not necessarily. He's not a power pitcher. He's not a guy who relies on velocity necessarily, sure. But it's hard to believe it wouldn't have some sort of an effect in some way.
Well, I have to ask this then. I mean, obviously, it's, his velocity is down. A couple of things are down for him, right? But at the same time, this has been a very weird season for him.
100%.
And yeah. I mean, again, I hate to keep coming back to a lot of things impacting, you know, a player that might be pressure they're putting on themselves, might be the situation. Like, he's just had a lot of factors, a lot of variables that, you know, could impact the reason why he's having a slow start. And even with a slow start, he's still pitching pretty damn well. The results, the end results are pretty good. You know, do you take out that Yankees game, and I think you'd be satisfied so far with the way that his season has started, considering all of those variables, the weird start, the not being in camp during spring training, you know, literally parting ways with the most powerful agent in baseball due to being unsatisfied with the way that the offseason went, being on a contract year where you're now, you know, playing this season with the Diamondbacks for a contract with most likely another team after the season wraps. So there's just a lot of things impacting him there, but I feel like once he can finally settle in, we're going to see an even better version of Jordan Montgomery than what we saw here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the Diamondbacks deal with Montgomery was made official on March 29th, right? Because that was the day after the season started.
Yeah, he's not even part of my freaking team on MLB The Show 24.
Yeah, yeah, you have to go.
I don't have the budget to pick him up.
You have to manually sign him. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. But yeah, I mean, today is May 8th, right? So you're talking about just a little bit over a month here from the day where Jordan Montgomery signed with the Diamondbacks. In a normal season, you're starting your throwing progression a lot earlier than that, for sure. You know, if you start in mid-February, I guess, as you normally would, then a little over a month in, you're basically right at the start of the season. So you could make a case that this is still sort of like the spring training phase for Jordan Montgomery, given the way that his buildup has gone. So
yeah, you can talk about him, you know, getting ready behind the scenes, getting ready at Scott Boras's facility, all of that, all you want. Sure. It's still not real baseball games against real Major League Baseball hitters, you know, an actual competitive team. And that is always different. That's the reason why the Diamondbacks send guys to Reno, right? It's not because they want to just make sure they polish up on a few things before they come in. No, it's so that they actually play in a real competitive baseball game before being activated and being part of the Major League roster. And that's because nothing really can simulate a baseball game other than playing a real baseball game.
Yeah. You know? It's true.
But no matter how good Jordan Montgomery gets, I have a feeling he's not going to do what Randy Johnson did on this day in 2001, because all of those years ago, which, I mean, I know some of you weren't even born, and yet I probably remember exactly where I was on that. I was entirely, I don't even want to talk about how old I was. But anyway, on this day in 2001, Randy Johnson became the third pitcher in Major League Baseball history to strike out 20 batters in 9 innings. It was against Jesse, this very same Cleveland Reds team. Well, not the same Cleveland Reds team. Again, most of these players probably I mean, they were born, but they weren't active in baseball yet. But
well, the other differentiator there being that the Reds don't believe ever played in Cleveland.
Did I say Cleveland? I'm sorry. Cleveland. Yeah, that's probably
you are getting pretty old there.
I am getting old.
Your memory's escaping you back.
I wrote it down wrong. No, I wrote it down right. It was the exact same score, by the way, as today's game. Ends 4-3. Which obviously means the Diamondbacks are going to win the World Series this year.
Well, what's also interesting is, May 8th, 2001, the Diamondbacks did win that game 4-3 in 11 innings over the Cincinnati Reds. So Randy Johnson, he threw nine innings, he did not throw a complete game that day, for as remarkable as that outing was.
How many pitches did he throw? 175?
He threw 124, which is actually pretty dang efficient for nine innings.
Yeah, nine innings.
124
yeah.
pitches.
And 20 strikeouts?
Yeah, that's pretty,
my
pretty
God.
Wild efficiency there. But after that game, after the Diamondbacks won that game on May 8th, 2001, the record was 17-16, which is certainly better than where the D-backs are now at 17-20, but not by so much,
not
right?
Not too far off. And it was still their 17th win of the year, right?
It was also their 17th win of the year. And it is a reminder that for people who were sort of sounding the alarm bell a few days ago when the D-backs fell to 6 games under .500 and were really, really struggling to score runs on any kind of consistent basis, it is still just so early in the season. I believe the Washington Nationals just lost as we've been doing this, and that makes the Diamondbacks just a game and a half out right now of the third wild card spot. Not that we should be getting like too wrapped up in wild card standings in early May, but
do it, Jesse, do it.
If anyone was concerned that the D-backs were you know, digging themselves such a hole that they had no hope of escaping, or you know, that they were going to be so far gone that it would just be too much ground to make up over the course of the season, that is not at all the case.
Yeah.
I mean, right now in the National League, things are pretty much wide open. We kind of always figured that the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Braves were going to be there. We're going to make the playoffs. Those teams have all been very, very good here in the early going. But outside of them, I mean, the Brewers have started well. They're currently in the lead in the Central. The Cubs are right behind them. They're off to a good start. But no other team in the National League has really played all that well
right.
at all. I think the Padres, Mets, and Nationals are all sort of tied for that third wild card spot. They're all just 500 at this point. And then you have the D-backs, the Pirates, these Reds, the Giants, the Cardinals, all within three games of them. And then, of course, it's the Marlins and the Rockies who are sort of off in their own category at the bottom of the National League. But well, yes, things are very wide open at this point is what I'm trying to say.
We are going to have a mailbag Saturday, but you did have a mailbag edition of a written mailbag. And one of the questions that was asked of you that went into a bit more detail.
You're
was,
not allowed to answer any well, of my I just written wanna, mailbag questions.
I'm just going to bring
that's
this
not,
up.
That's not how this works.
Well, it's because it's because it was preposterous to me, and I brought it up to you in the moment when I read it as well. And that's because
sure.
the question started off asking basically why should we be optimistic, or should we still be optimistic?
Yeah, should we still be optimistic
about the Diamondbacks season, lines. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, we should, because it's only May 8th. That's the reason why. Like, no matter how bad things have gotten for this team is not a complete team. So the fact that
yeah,
it's May 8th and they have so many pieces missing that are still going to come back, there's a lot of reasons to still be optimistic about this team. The fact that this team is still finding a way to win, considering how many of the players are struggling offensively, is a reason to be optimistic. The laws of average say a lot of these guys are going to turn it around. And again, if they're finding ways to win now or stay close to 500, then I remain very optimistic, not even cautiously optimistic about the future for this team in 2024. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be fixed by these guys returning, as we've seen, right?
No.
Paul Sewald came back and he went out there and pitched and did a good job, but he still gave up a home run. It still wasn't flawless. And again, when Alec Thomas and Geraldo Perdomo come back, they're going to help significantly with the defense, but they still probably won't add that much offensively that's really going to, you know, really turn the tide for the way that the offense is performing right now. Right now, it's the guys that are here, they can still get things going, and there are still a lot of reinforcements coming, but there's also a lot of reasons to remain optimistic about this team. The main one being, it's still early, right? There's still plenty of time for this team to get things figured out and put together. And honestly, I think that they can still do that. I think that I've been
yeah.
encouraged by a lot of what we've seen so far, but
yeah. And I will say just real quick on the other side of that, like, I do think there are valid reasons to be concerned about the Diamondbacks too. I mean,
exactly.
They do have a lot yeah. of, I mean, Merrill Kelly's going to be out multiple months, right? Eduardo Rodriguez, heard he was having an MRI today and potentially could start a throwing program. We'll hopefully have some updates on that tomorrow, but he's still going to be out for a decent while.
Thomas had the setback.
Alec Thomas has the setback. Geraldo Perdomo is still working through his rehab. Fangraphs, for whatever it's worth, has the D-backs at a 34.1% chance to make the playoffs right now. Which I think it's, yeah, it's, I'm not putting much stock in that at this stage in the season. I think I just go back to what you said earlier of just how early it is and how it's, we really should be getting too wrapped up in the season being like so clearly like they're still going to win 95 games, or the other side of so clearly the season is over.
Right.
And this thing is done before it's really even gotten started. Neither of those extremes, I think, are warranted at all at this point in the season.
I don't even know. Like, people were asking, when will we see this team at 100% health? I don't even know.
Probably never.
I don't mean, even know.
Just,
that's
just kind of
yeah.
how baseball works.
Like, it doesn't feel
work.
Right. It doesn't feel like that's the case, but hopefully they can get as close to it. And more importantly, hopefully these guys that are, you know, playing right now, are healthy right now, can, you know, realize again, games like today are winnable, even if they go out there and don't have their best day. So maybe that can alleviate some of the pressure that they're feeling about those standards or those expectations that the Diamondbacks have put upon them, whether they want them there or not. Those expectations are there, right? But now the Diamondbacks can go for their first sweep of the season against the Reds.
Their first sweep. That's pretty crazy.
It's Cincinnati Reds, by the way. Slade Ciccone going up against Hunter Green. So I don't like their chances very much. But again, Slade has had some very good outings this season. And again, the Diamondbacks really have an opportunity to continue to kind of just put it to a team that is struggling right now, and they've been through that, and they've had it put to them, and this is kind of nice for them to be able to put it on another team.
Yeah, Hunter Green is good, man.
He's very
good. He was taken second overall back in 2017, and is not necessarily put it together for a full season at the big league level yet, but looks like this might be the year. He comes into this start with a 3.12 ERA, a 1.17 WHIP, averaging just under six innings per start so far with the Reds. So it's going to be a tall task for sure. But Slade Ciccone was also pretty darn good before his bit of a clunker that he had against the Padres. So yeah, I think the D-backs have a shot here. Slade also pitched against George Kirby, if I'm not mistaken, right? And that Saturday game a couple weekends ago against the Mariners, and he very much held his own in that game. So, yeah, I think the D-backs, I think they have a shot here.
Well, I know the Diamondbacks aren't there yet, Jesse, but they're slowly but surely making their way up Mount 500. Some of the people in the chat wanted it. He's not there yet. We're not at the peak yet, but let's go ahead and get Cattell marching up the mountain, shall we? We need that slower. It needs to go a little like a slow motion version of it, because we're slowly making our way up.
Cattell's climbing a little too fast.
Yeah, he's sure. Well, Cattell's on fire. 9-game hitting streak for my guy. So don't forget, he's doing a thing. He's just leaving the rest of the team behind right now. But of course, tomorrow, what is that? 10-10 start tomorrow?
Yeah,
bright and early
breakfast with the D-backs.
That's
on a Thursday morning,
and maybe brunch with us, because we will be live right after tomorrow's game, just like tonight. So make sure to join us for the post game show tomorrow. Hopefully, you'll bring your brooms with you, and the Diamondbacks will get to sweep against the Reds. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, we are all in awe of he who is the people's producer, Damon. He is Damon Dog on Twitter @DAWG. And we are Damon's dogs.
Bark, bark, bark.
I went with a little bit more aggressive.
That was a little
bit aggressive. It feels like everything here tonight has been pretty aggressive. So I just wanted to, you know, keep the status quo. Of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Make sure to drop a like before you go. We appreciate it. Gabby would love it if you do that. And of course, Gabby is feeling under the weather. Gabby might have gotten Jesse sick. We have any way to prove that. It's floating around in the clubhouse, and you know this guy kind of lives in there, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he picked this up. I told you to stay away from those boys, but anyway. We thank you guys for stopping by. We will see you tomorrow at our post-game show after the 10-10 start. In the meantime, have a wonderful night. Enjoy yourselves. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when Gino goes yard.